Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you to our Easter Sunday worship service. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That was a greeting in the early church. It is our greeting to you this day. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O thou risen Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your holy presence this day thanking you that through that glorious resurrection, you have won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. Help us to understand that as you are the risen Lord, so you meet us. You meet us in the very, very most difficult parts of our lives. You meet us where we rejoice. So on this great day in the church, Father, help us to realize that our God is not dead. He lies not in a tomb. He is alive. He is risen. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 28th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angels said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel for this Easter day.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation true in heart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing.
Friends in Christ, it was late one afternoon when a gentleman came into my office with a question. "In 15 minutes, can you explain to me what Christianity is?" he asked. I invited him to sit down and assured him that I could give him the core beliefs of the Christian faith in only a very few minutes. So I began to tell him the gospel. I started out by saying, "You know, you're a sinner. You were born that way. You live that way. But God loves you. However, he cannot do anything with you until that sin is taken away. He can have nothing to do with sin. So this was his plan, which was fulfilled in Christ. He sent Jesus into this world. And Jesus suffered and died and was raised again. Through his death, he paid the price for your sins and mine. Through his resurrection, he has won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. If we will repent of our sins and receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, he will come into our lives and we will be restored into fellowship with God. That's what we call in the Christian faith the gospel, and that's the core belief of the Christian faith. my new friend said, "Is that all there is to it? What about these rules? What about this drunkenness and swearing and immoral living? You mean to tell me that I can continue to have a lifestyle which includes this type of behavior and still be a Christian?" And then I smiled and said to him, "You know what? When Jesus Christ is your Savior, you will never want that for your lifestyle. Because you understand that Christianity is not only giving intellectual assent to these core doctrines that I have just mentioned to you. You don't just go to church and confess, 'Well, I believe that he was crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead,' and then that's the end of it. That might be giving intellectual assent, but that's not faith. But it sometimes takes a long time for these words, 'He is risen,' to become a living truth which controls our lives. And that is where the disciples were on that first Easter morning. Jesus had told them that he was going to be raised from the dead. They understood that. Intellectually, they might even have accepted it. But now they were really confronted with the fact that he was not in the tomb. And this was the Easter story as recorded by one of the gospel writers whose name is Matthew. There were two women, according to Matthew, others say more, others say less, who went out to the tomb, but Matthew has Mary Magdalene and the other Mary going there. And there, during the time that they were on the way, I imagine, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. So the stone was away from the tomb. The guards who were there watching over the body, that lest anybody would steal it, were so afraid they shook. They didn't know what to do in the presence of that angel. But then the angel addressed these women, and he said to them, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. But go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. That's where you'll see him.'" In other words, what the angel said was, "You'll meet him in Galilee. He wants to talk to you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, and they were afraid, and yet they were filled with all kinds of joy. Then suddenly they met Jesus, and he shouts out, "Greetings!" They came to him, and they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid, but you go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. I have an appointment with them in Galilee. There they will see me." And that's exactly what happened. Jesus met them first in Jerusalem and then in Galilee. Then he returned to Jerusalem. And 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. And just before he ascended into heaven, he gave the Great Commission. "You people go and tell the story to all the world that their Lord and their Savior, Jesus Christ, has been raised from the grave. But I'm going to meet you people in Galilee." And in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, we had that event happening. They went to Galilee. And there on that particular day, Jesus came and began to talk with them. He had breakfast with them. What an appointment. And after the breakfast was over, he sat down and talked with Peter, the one who had betrayed him on that night when Jesus needed him the most, the night that he was arrested. And he finally said to him, and he said it not only once, he said it three times, "Peter, I forgive you. Now go out and feed my lambs and tend my sheep and tell the story of Jesus Christ wherever you go, because you're going to have a kind of a tough time, Peter. You're going to be my servant primarily to the Jewish people. And in the end, you know how you're going to die? You're going to die on a cross too." That was the appointment that he had with Peter and the rest of them in Galilee. There might have been others too, but that's the only one that we know about. "I'll meet you." That's my theme today. I'll meet you in Galilee, but I'll also meet you wherever you are. That's the message, friend, for he is a risen Lord. He is not a moral example who died for his convictions. He is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, who died for the sins of the world and was raised again and is anxious to live in your heart and in mine, to walk with us every single day, every hour of the day. But then come those times when he has just a little bit of a special appointment with us. That was a special appointment that Jesus had with those disciples in Galilee. The same words are spoken to us by our Lord. He speaks to us today through his word. As you read that word, it is a resurrected Lord who is speaking to you. As you hear that word of God preached on this Easter Sunday and every Sunday, then it is God who is speaking to you. It is God who speaks to you when a friend brings you the message from his word, carried from another person to you. Now just stop and think of what that can really mean in our day. Here is a young service man, a woman in Iraq today. And he is saying to you, I'm here to tell you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That person could well have been a teenager, could have sat in a Sunday school classroom, might have been asked to even memorize that verse by a teacher who was considered to be old-fashioned simply because she or he wanted you to do a little memorizing. But what Jesus is saying, I'll meet you in Iraq. That didn't make much sense to the teenager. Why would I ever go to Iraq? Why would Jesus meet me there? No. Something wrong, laughed about it. But you know what? He was saying then to that person who is over there fighting in this very, very difficult war, I'll meet you. I'll meet you in Iraq. And today, when it's a very, very dangerous situation and you are in harm's way, it is Jesus who said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll not forsake you. I'll not leave you. Maybe in a doctor's office. Maybe way back some time ago when you were in the best of health. Didn't have an acre of pain, sometimes could boast that you had never been inside of a hospital as a patient. And now you're sitting there, you feel in the prime of life, and the doctor says the diagnosis is very serious. We're going to do everything that we can to help you. And Jesus has said, I have an appointment with you in the doctor's office and in your car on the way home. How do I break this news to my family? But he's a risen Lord. And he says, listen again. The eternal God is your resting place. And underneath are his everlasting arms. He's speaking to you. Just as real as he spoke to Peter by the sea. As your day is, so your strength is going to be. He doesn't say whether you're going to get well, you're going to have a few years, or you're going to die. But he does say this in that appointment in the doctor's office. I am with you. And maybe it's a meeting in your home. You never thought a meeting like this would ever have to come about. The day has come to an end, and you and your spouse are in your bedroom. Both of you know that something is dreadfully wrong with your marriage. It's coming apart. Jesus said, on your wedding day, I'll meet you. I'll meet you in the bedroom some night, just the two of you, and I'll have a talk with you. And here's what he'll say. What God has joined together, let not man separate. That was written in the 19th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 6. Now, if you're entertaining some thoughts of breaking up this marriage because that's what your culture is telling you to do if you're not happy there, listen, I've got an appointment with you in your bedroom. You never thought you'd have to have it on the day of your wedding when she looked so beautiful and he was so handsome. But during the course of the days, you become extremely insensitive to one another. Some of the things you have done are almost insane. Why did you do it? Because Satan. Satan is the one who had control of you. But Christ has won the victory for you over Satan if you'll only turn to him. So he's saying in this appointment, look, let's turn back to those early chapters in Matthew's gospel where it talks about the forgiveness of sin and not only God forgiving us, but we forgiving one another, especially in a relationship as close as a husband and a wife. And then after that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, for God would say that's where I use my inspired writer, St. Paul, to tell us what life was all about. And then you'll see how far your culture has really gotten away from what is really love. I have an appointment for you in your bedroom. Or, as a confirmation student, he said to her one day, she didn't hear him right then, I have an appointment for you. And so she chose this verse for her confirmation verse. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That was the word in his appointment that God had with her as her father's coffin was being lowered into the earth. And there, her confirmation verse, she told me later, was no longer a word, but it was a promise. For the Lord Jesus, who had had an appointment with her, spoke to her. You have a risen Lord, and we must never forget it. Now I would ask you in closing, are you like the man who came to my office and asked me to summarize the faith in 15 minutes? If so, there it is. Jesus suffered. Jesus died as a payment for your sins. He has been raised again. He has been raised. He is a risen Lord. He is a living Lord who is with you all the time, not just once in a while, but there are those times when he has those special appointments with you, just like he did with his disciples. There you can find your peace. Turn to him on this Easter Sunday. And let him change your life. And for those of you who have experienced his presence and you have a story to tell, for remember that 40 days after that resurrection, he gathered with his disciples, and you are the disciples now if you trust Jesus, and said, now go and tell others about your risen Savior. Amen. Father in heaven, may this Easter message, in a very special way, bring us a fresh breeze today. Help us to realize, O God, that you have truly won that victory for us if we continue with you, that our sins are forgiven, and that you can even empower us to overcome some of these sins, not that we will ever be perfect, but that we can seek to live for you and your kingdom. God, on this Easter day, touch our hearts and fill our spirits. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us to know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive our book, a collection of Christian Crusaders' 10 Most Requested Sermons of 2002. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, and share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tape CDs or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.